Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1468 of your talk radio. Carl, Linda Bott. Linda's in Sacramento today and with her parents. So you have me today. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, the 21st of October, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm here with Jared. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
So how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Did you have a good drive-in?
I did.
It's not very crowded when you come in, is it?
No, not really. The thing that gets me is when a big truck is behind me and they have really bright lights, kind of blinds me in the mornings when it's dark.
Well, you should just jam on your brakes then.
Yeah, I suppose I could try that and get crushed.
Once. Hey, what's the weather look like?
It's currently 72 degrees. We're going to have a red flag warning through Friday. Today is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 87 and a low of 51. Thursday is going to be breezy with a high of 77 and a low of 49. On Friday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 81 and a low of 47. And on Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 76 and a low of 41.
Okay, the weather report, it's going to be nice. No rain, though. We were discussing that. No rain. Doesn't look like it's anywhere.
Not in the foreseeable forecast.
Okay. Hey, weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane is a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And speaking of weather, PG&E, it looks like they're going to be cutting power off to about 23,000 Shasta County residents due to the high winds today and tomorrow. Maybe as soon as 9 o'clock today. Redding area, city of Shasta Lake, Anderson, Cottonwood, all those areas may lose power tonight as early as 9 o'clock through Thursday. So be prepared. Are they playing another World Series game tonight?
I'm not sure. I know they played one last night, but I don't follow
baseball. If they play another one tonight, it's probably going to be about halfway through, partially through the game. You probably get into it, so bases loaded, bottom of the seventh or something. Not that I watch baseball.
Yeah, I don't. And yes, they are playing tonight.
Huh?
They are playing tonight.
Okay, they are playing tonight. All right. So many things happening. Here's my question is this Hunter Biden laptop story just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And considering that the mainstream media, for the most part, are not addressing it. However, they're starting to wake up. A CBS reporter asked Joe Biden directly about it. And Biden says, "You're trying to smear me. You guys are always like that, blah, blah, blah." And he attacked the reporter. And then the other reporters around started to say, "Oh, wait a minute, he's asking you a question, a viable question about what's going on here." And, it's people were saying Adam Schiff. You know who Adam Schiff is? I don't disparage people usually. But when you use the term, okay, I'm not even going to use that term. His name's Adam Schiff. He's a congressman. He said it's all Russian disinformation about Hunter Biden. Well, the head of the intelligence agencies for the United States said it's not Russian disinformation. And the FBI came out and said it's not Russian disinformation. This is Hunter Biden's laptop. And then a prisoner in Oregon who was a guy incarcerated in Oregon for illegal bond trading or something, who was a partner of Hunter Biden's, said, he's been in there for like a year. He said, "You know, you can have my laptop too," which has got thousands of emails concerning Hunter Biden and business practices in other countries. So they have that one too. This is huge. This one is, and then when you get Facebook and Twitter, who refused to, as they did when Trump was being accused of colluding with Russians, which was proved to be untrue, after 3 years in an impeachment. Found, you know, it was untrue. While they were impeaching President Trump, all this stuff was going on with Biden. And they so bottom line is that this guy's emails are now available to the FBI. And so here are my questions. If you are a Biden supporter, I don't think this is going to make much difference to you. If you are a dyed-in-the-wool, this is Joe Biden, you know, I don't care what Joe Biden does. I hate Trump so much that I would vote for a donkey. You know, they used to call them yellow dog Democrats, that if a Democrat ran, or if a yellow dog ran under the Democratic Party, people would vote for it. And there's yellow dog Republicans, too. Okay, so I'm just, you know, it's both sides. But people dislike Trump so much that they will vote for Biden with all of his physical afflictions, all of his physical things, with his strength, or, you know, and his ability to lead and to go day after day after day after day after day, which is what a president has to do. But they hate Trump so much they're going to vote for Biden. So it's the independent voters and the people that are kind of still, you know, they're looking at it and they see this because millions have voted, millions and tens of millions haven't, are looking at this. Is it going to make a difference to them? This, you know, this could lead directly, the information on this could lead directly to Joe Biden being impeached if he's president. And then you have voted for Kamala Harris to be president. I mean, I'm not into conspiracy theories here, but there's a, you know, what do you think was, are the Democrats, if this comes into it and they find that Joe Biden did influence things because his son asked him to, that he's been, he said he's never had contact with him about business, and it looks like that one is just patently untrue based on these emails. If they hold up, that means that Joe Biden comes into office wounded, maybe even wounded to the point where he can't even finish his first term or even the first year. So then you have to ask yourself, can you vote for Kamala Harris to be your president of the United States? The woman that bailed out people that were rioting. The woman who said that she will sign executive order outlawing semi-automatic rifles. A woman who's into this Green Deal, which will destroy much of our economy, as many people theorize. So I have to look at this. So what I ask people is, does this make a difference to you? Does this make a difference to you that all this is coming out? Yeah, it's October. What bothers me is that the FBI has had this since last November. So the FBI has either been investigating it or sitting on it since last November. Well, why is that? I mean, this is a presidential election. I mean, they were more than happy to come forth with Trump stuff and based on, as we found out later, untrue documents. So why are they just sitting on this? I mean, this could have an impact on the presidential election. Why doesn't Barr tell the American people, or have the FBI tell the American people, yeah, we're investigating this, and what they've said so far is this is Hunter Biden's laptop. It's not somebody else's, and there's no Russian collusion in it. There's no Russian interference here. This is all Hunter Biden. And, you know, not the photos and all the other stuff, the drugs, the sex, and all that, notwithstanding, that's his personal life. It's the emails that have been written and leading directly to then Vice President Joe Biden about changing things, about money, all of these things. I mean, this had come out on Trump 2 weeks ago, something like this, you would have heard nothing but this 24 hours a day. and the major media is just starting to start pushing a little bit and start probing a little bit, even though there is a plethora of information out there. Why, you know, and then you ask yourself, just how far in the tank are they? Do they hate Trump that much? And we're talking media that has called for his removal, has called him everything but president, including cursing at him on national TV. So, all right, that's our first segment. And when we come back, we want to talk about what's happening in the movie world with our movie critic, Robert, who just walked in. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop. In the Cypress Square Shopping Center, of course, right off of Athens, is a great place to get your haircut. That's where I've been getting my haircut since I've lived here in Reading, and don't plan on changing. They work everything by appointments. Everything is sanitized. Everything is between customers. You're wearing disposable drapes when they cut your hair, mask, the whole thing. All of this is at Cypress Square Barbershop. Give them a call at 9478 for an appointment, and you will not be sorry. It's a better-known barbershop, a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans, and it's man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51. Jefferson, state of mind.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information, 530-223-0900.
0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 0094-0100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
I want to be a spaceman. That's what I want to be.
Welcome back to Free Five Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567. It's Carl Bott here. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by State Granite. Mike Hubert has been custom altering homes. I don't know, it's custom alterations, I would imagine, as opposed to custom altering. For over 16 years, he works by appointment only. He's very busy. And the reason he's busy, he does such great work. His choice of designs, his choice of materials is just top-notch. He did our kitchen several years ago, and it has in granite and with backsplashes and everything, and it was all his design, and it's just beautiful. You can give him a call at 241-STONE, that's STONE, or learn more at estategranite.com. That's estategranite. Okay, Robert Burke has decided to join us.
Yep.
Finally. All right. What do I have to call you in the morning?
I think I just need my alarms to make sound instead of being silent.
Yeah, no more
buzzing.
Well, buzzing doesn't work. Well, buzzing works for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you use your phone to get up in the morning?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's what I've been using.
And it buzzes, and it buzzes, and it works for me. But
I just need to start setting my alarm
I'm used to waking up very quickly.
Yeah.
And usually, what really wakes me up is the sound of a mortar 1,000 yards away going boom, because there's only one sound like that in the world. It's a mortar. And when it's fired from out there, you know it's coming towards you. So it's easy to wake up. Okay, buddy, what's the latest on movies?
There's a lot of movies coming out this weekend, surprising amount. I was looking over it, and it's kind of crazy. This week we have 7 movies coming out on, I think, 6 different streaming services. It's
wow.
A very diverse group of movies. So we do have one in theaters. It's called The Empty Man. This one was acquired by Disney during the Fox-Disney merger and kind of got lost in production hell as it was trying to find a release date.
Production hell.
Yeah.
Like,
and because it's so low risk, I thought may as well drop it right now, even though we are seeing a lot of places, an increase in COVID cases leading to the closure of movie theaters.
Yeah, it looks like we're going back into purple here.
Yeah, Shasta County will be losing theaters for as long as it is in purple, which I don't think will be too long. And in New York, actually a good thing this week, the governor announced that movie theaters can reopen other than in New York City proper. So that's the first time that we've gotten good news about New York theaters in a really long time. The Empty Man is about a cop who is put on a case to look for a missing girl, and in doing so gets entangled in a very strange cultish summoning of a evil spirit. Also, this weekend, we have a movie dropping.
Does it have any actors in it that we know?
No, it does not. It's a lot bunch of no-names.
Okay.
And this weekend, we have the sequel to the hit 2006 film Borat, which has a very long title that I will not be saying. But this one was shot in private during the pandemic and is just now coming out. It stars Sacha Baron Cohen, who is known for his role as Borat. He was also just in the trailer of the Chicago 7, which is very surprising to see him in 2 movies within a week. And this one is directed by Jason Wolliner, who has only directed stand-up specials. So this is his first ever movie. And it will be dropping on Prime Video. A lot of people are highly anticipating this one because there's a lot of support around the first one. And this one is very specifically about the coronavirus and the election coming up. Also coming out, we have an awards possible Oscar contender called On the Rocks, dropping on Apple TV+. This one it's also made by A24. It is directed by Sofia Coppola, who you know is
yes.
Francis Ford Coppola's daughter, made Lost in Translation. And it stars Bill Murray and Rashida Jones, and it's about a woman who gets worried about her marriage and what her husband is doing. So she teams up with her father, who is an old playboy type, and they track her husband around town, and in doing so, engage in a lot of conversations about life and their own separate marriages and where things are headed for both of them. This one I'm really looking forward to. I plan on watching it probably Friday, you know, morning, as soon as I can, because I have heard from a lot of people that this movie is very relaxing. It's very gentle and very easy to watch.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I love him.
Bill Murray's in it. Yeah. I hear the type of feeling you get when you go home and visit your parents, which I don't know what that's like because I still live at home. But apparently it's supposed to be – the film is supposed to give off that type
of
energy.
You can still be grounded, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think my parents would ground me, but
– you never can tell.
No.
I don't think so either. But I don't think you should be able to vote if you can still be grounded by your parents. It's just my thought, okay? It has nothing to do with this.
I think you bring this up once every 2 weeks.
Well, I try to. I try to because you're one of those exceptional types of your age, I think. They could probably winnow out a lot of this. What am I talking about? There's people my age that can't winnow out all the stuff that's going on. Anyway, go on.
So we also have on HBO Max is a new film that was supposed to be released in theaters. And what's the company? I'm completely forgetting.
Netflix?
HBO Max. They have a parent company.
Prime?
It's not Universal.
Time Warner?
Warner Brothers. There we go. Thank you.
You bet.
They were supposed to release this in theaters. They decided not to. It's a new Robert Zemeckis movie. Who obviously directed Back to the Future trilogy, Forrest Gump, Castaway. This one is called The Witches. It is based on a Roald Dahl novel, and it stars Anne Hathaway, Octavia Spencer, Stanley Tucci, Chris Rock, and it is about an orphaned boy who moves into a house and stumbles upon a meeting of witches and gets turned into a mouse, and how he has to try to circumvent that. There aren't any, you know, early words about it yet. Obviously, it was supposed to come out in theaters, and then it couldn't because, you know, every movie was getting pushed back. It's coming out around here, obviously, because of Halloween. It's going to be a good, you know, family-friendly, kind of like Goosebumps was.
That's coming out on
HBO Max.
On HBO Max, okay.
Yeah. So that's one I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, it's a Roald Dahl, children's-inspired. Well, I think it could be fun.
Did you watch the 1990, The Witches?
I did not, no. Oh. Is it good?
Is it the same story?
Yeah, it's the same story. It has Angelica Houston. I watched it when I was a kid. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. And 30 years later,
by the way,
a new one.
Just for, if, I saw something on Facebook. It says, I can't wait. It's Charlie Brown's Halloween, The Great Pumpkin. Halloween and The Great Pumpkin. It's been playing for 60 years.
That makes me mad.
And
Apple Plus.
Yeah, you can't. It's not going to be playing on network TVs.
Yeah.
And it's been playing every year for 60 years, and now it's not. Now it's
something
going to
that
Apple.
Old should never.
That's like public. I mean, that's public, and to take it off the. I mean, it's a super, super little, you know, show for a family to watch. And now it's gone to Apple. And you've got to join Apple to be able to watch it. That's ridiculous. You know? Anyway.
So this week we also have two new films on Netflix coming out, both which are pretty significant. One is called Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
It's a remake of the Alfred Hitchcock movie from the 1940s.
Uh-huh.
It stars Lily James and Armie Hammer and Ann Dowd. And it follows the same plot as the original. It's about a newly widowed woman who has to try to deal with her husband's fascination on his ex. And it's directed by Ben Wheatley.
Maybe that's why he's deceased. Okay, I'm just kidding. All right.
Did I say deceased?
You said she was widowed.
Sorry, newly married, not newly widowed.
Oh, newly.
Thank you for catching that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That probably makes more sense now. The other one is called Over the Moon. It is a animated film coming from the director of Dear Basketball, which was an Oscar-winning animated short film that was about Kobe Bryant when he was retiring. And this one, it stars Philippa Hsu and John Chu, and it is about a girl who becomes fascinated with going to the moon to meet a moon goddess. It's getting pretty good reviews so far. Last time I checked, it was sitting at 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of people are saying the animation is spectacular, the story is pretty mediocre, but it's good for children. And okay. That one's coming out on Netflix. Last one is a Hulu original film called Bad Hair that is quite literally about a woman who gets a new haircut and her hair develops a mind of its own and starts to attack her.
Well,
which is, it sounds very much like a cheesy 80s horror movie, but it's coming out in 2020.
Well, you know what? Of course it's coming out in 2020. The rest of this year has been weird. Why not that?
Mm-hmm.
Robert Burt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we will be seeing you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're going to take a break, and Stephen Bell, who is running for the Shasta College Board of Trustees, will be our guest right after these advertisements. And don't worry, I'll have more coffee in me by the time I get back. We'll be right back.
Midnight, and I'm waiting on the 12:05, hoping it'll take me just a little farther down the line. Moonlight, you're just a heartache in this side. Won't you keep my heart from breaking if it's only for a very short time?
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I am Steve Morgan, and I'm running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridges, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric Magrini, former Sheriff Tom Basenko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 2020.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort. Details at WinRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for state senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate, ID 142-3306.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. Phone lines here 605-4567, 735 in the morning, 70 degrees, going up to a beautiful 88 today. Though, really, frankly, I'd like to see that, hey, we're going to have rain for the next 4 days. I'd like to be able to say that, oh, you're going to have to stay inside because it's going to be raining a lot. I wish I could say that. Hey, weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, better known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. And give them a call, 365-3793. I'm sitting here with Stephen Bell, who, good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
And first of all, thank you for your service. You were in the Highway Patrol for like 28 years?
Yes, 28 years.
And you were the chief up here?
Yes, of Northern Division.
Yeah, and that was before my time. I didn't really get involved with the Highway Patrol until Scott Gillingwater came in, and he was your replacement.
Actually, there was one between
was
us.
There one before him?
Yes.
And who was that?
That would have been Bridget Lott.
Yeah, I didn't know her either.
Okay.
So, and when I was honored to be asked to be the representative from the Northern Division, mm-hmm. They have a Citizens Advisory Board.
Yes.
At the Highway Patrol, and I can tell you it was just a great experience.
That's
and
great.
I retired when the new captain came on because I'd been there for 2 years, over 2 years at that point, and I don't think it's a lifetime appointment like mm-hmm. it is if you're elected to Congress. We had a new chief up here, so I thought that she should have somebody that, you know, that she had a say.
Yes, absolutely.
That just made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're running for the Shasta College Board of Trustees Section E?
Area E. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I've always had a life of service, and as demonstrated by my work with the California Highway Patrol. When I retired, it was a medical retirement, but I thought I still had a desire to serve. And so after my retirement, I sought positions on local boards for Northern Regional Center. I was appointed by the governor to serve on the State Council of Developmental Disabilities, and I also served on the CAHP Credit Union Board of Directors. So in that capacity, I want to give back. And education is a very important thing. It's always been important to me and important to my family, and I thought this is an opportunity to continue that.
Well, you, why Shasta College? I mean, what ignited your desire to run for the board?
Well, it probably started when my middle son, Benjamin, graduated from high school, and he had an opportunity. He was thinking about attending Shasta College, but he moved out of the area. And then I looked into that, and I'd like to see that our local students stay and go to the local community college to benefit and to further their education. So I looked for an opportunity, and as such, there's an election this year, and I happen to live in Area E, which is Shasta Lake.
Mm-hmm. So, and so is there something about that? Usually when people run, it's not just for the seat, but it's to accomplish something there. I read where you think that the distance learning isn't working for the Shasta College.
I think it could be a whole lot better.
Okay.
And I've talked to some of the, I would call them educational professionals from both Shasta Lake and Trinity County, and there are potentials, there are possibilities of expanding that so that the remote area of Trinity County, we could use that for a better, a much more viable educational approach. In Shasta Lake, we have we have a program. In fact, both Trinity County and Shasta Lake say that they have a wonderful partnership with the college, and they think that it's great, but it could be better. And and it could be better by expanding the range of programs and classes that are available so that the students that are currently in high school can take one of them's called College Vine, and the other is more like a dual enrollment program. But if we expand that, we're going to get more interest and we get people into the system.
Well, the dual enrollment is that they're going to high school and college. Is that correct?
They're taking, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're doing that now at Shasta College. But you want to expand that out further?
I wanted to have more classes.
Okay.
Yes, they are doing it, but for the sake of this discussion, let's just say that they're doing it in business and accounting,
mm-hmm.
whereas I would like it to see any and all programs that Shasta College is offering, that we have that possibility of doing that dual enrollment and distance learning.
Okay, so you want to expand that opportunity for the students?
Absolutely.
Okay. I frankly don't know how many of those classes they have, even though I have Shasta College on here once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring in the different centers there, the different academia coming in.
Yes.
Shasta College seems like they are really expanding out. What are your thoughts on that? Do you see that, or are they just not expanding fast enough?
I think they're expanding. Whether or not they're expanding fast enough, I'd have to be elected and find out exactly how and why and what they're doing and so forth. But the opportunity is there to expand, to increase, to provide more for all of the students, not only the students but the stakeholders. It's important to me to bring in all stakeholders that have an interest, a vested interest in Shasta College, not only it being successful, but the communities being successful. And so by expanding that, and it should be done strategically. I'm not saying open the floodgates and just throw everything in there. No, it has to be done measuredly and so forth and so on.
Okay. The Shasta College has got a number of hands-on classes there that we used to call SHOP. In high school, but
yes,
these are in diesel mechanics, welding, horticulture, the farm, all of these things.
Yes.
Should those be expanded also?
Yes, based on the interest and the desire of the community. We need to serve the community, the Shasta, Tehama, Trinity community. It's a college district that goes over those three counties. And finding out what it is they need and they want, we should be responding to. So if there's a greater need for that or any other program like that, we should consider bringing it on board so that we are hearing from our constituents and responding to them so that we are offering them what they want.
Okay, well, I mean, that's what a community college should do.
Absolutely.
Shasta College has got programs where you don't pay tuition.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're there going full time, they've got grants that take care of that.
Yes,
they have. I'm just really interested in the vocational type studies they have, because their people are being hired away before they can graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where we are, with needing people to work in the industries like that.
Yes.
Would you look at expanding? I asked this question, but I'm being a little more specific. Expanding this into, they've started a small robotics thing. What other types of vocational type training, the blue collar training, do you see could be added on to this beyond what they have in the heavy equipment and the welding and their basic robotics, the horticulture and all that? What other areas?
Whatever area there's a need in. And I don't mean to be vague, but I want to create a partnership. I want to hear from the constituents. I want to hear what it is they want and they need. And if in hearing those discussions and talking to them, I find out that there's a technical area that Shasta College doesn't have, but we could have, I would certainly bring that to the board's attention for consideration. So I'm open to all of them.
Okay. I'm here with Stephen Bell. and he's a retired California Highway Patrolman of 28 years, has been in a number of other organizations, and is running now for the Shasta County Board of Trustees, Area E.
Yes, Shasta College. Yes, sir.
For Shasta College. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors. Now, they were heroes during the beginning parts of this COVID and still are. When they put out, they took over that Paycheck Protection Program and saved literally thousands of jobs, distributed millions of dollars, saved tens of dozens of businesses through Cornerstone Community Bank, and they are still pushing forward. They are still bringing people's dreams to fruition. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Three locations, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way. And by the way, Linda said you could hear us all the way in the Corning. She was listening to the station yesterday. Just, that's another great thing. 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Reading. So when people say, how far down do you reach? We can say all the way to Corning. I think that's if it's a good day and the clouds are right.
I've heard it in Corning myself.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And, of course, at the 192 Hartnell Avenue, right in the O'Reilly Shopping Center. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Good people there. We'll be right back with Stephen Bell.
You know, there's some great fishing around Reading, but there's some great problems here, too, because of politics. Heck, some of these politicians must think I'm a fish, because they keep throwing me line after line of going-to-dos to get elected, but then nothing gets done. Former Mayor Winters said our homeless problem was beyond the scope of local government. That's like me saying I can't catch a big fish because my tackle's too small. Come on. Or how about McElvain? Promising privatized internet 4 years ago. Oh, but now he's up for re-election saying, let's do a pilot program for $800,000, knowing it could be rejected by the voters. You know the old saying, if it smells like fish? Well, I'm casting my vote for Mark Masano for city council. Masano's a 28-year vet of the California Highway Patrol and is going to work his city council job full-time so something does get done.
My name is Mark Masano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Masano, council member, City of Reading.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Did you know that every day in the state of California, 10,000 people turn 65 years old? Yep, 10,000 every day. And the resources needed to allow you or your senior parents to be happy and healthy during these special years can be complicated at best. So where do you begin to find the local resources you may need? ReadingSeniorSource.com. This is an online senior resource directory which will connect you with everything from Medicare supplemental insurance assistance, senior transportation, estate planning attorneys, home care agencies, assisted living communities, and hundreds more. This directory has been a labor of love created by me, Mary Ann Seifert, owner of Mary Ann Senior Placement Services. I have over two decades of experience.
Welcome back to FIFI Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is a beautiful day. It's going to go up about 88 today. It's like 70 degrees right now. Sunshiny and all of that. And today's the 21st of October, and this portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst has been doing this for a couple of decades, and there's nobody better at fixing windshields than Jeff Wurst. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff's going to fix it for you. He doesn't take chances with your family's safety. No, he fixes it, and then he guarantees his work for life. Yeah, for life. He fixed a crack in my windshield 13 years ago, and it hasn't gotten any bigger. Still can't see it. You know, it's just a, it's kind of, it's, that's an indication of the kind of work he does. Give him a call at 241-8373 for an appointment, or just stop by Crackmaster Windshield Repair at 3208 South Market Street. I'm with Stephen Bell, who is running for, the Shasta College Board of Trustees, Area 4, which would be the Redding,
Redding, Shasta, well, parts of Redding, Shasta Lake, all of Trinity County, Lakehead, Lewiston, and Hayford.
Okay, and we talked about during the break that yesterday that the J. Pritzker Foundation was giving $100 million over 20 years to 34 community colleges who have the lowest percentage of adults with college degrees. And unfortunately, Shasta County is one of those, and it's going to mean another $150,000 a year in scholarships, which is a big, which is a big thing. What would you do as on the Board of Trustees to increase the number of college graduates that we have? Because Shasta County has got a good, a very good completion rate, graduation rate for high school. But it seems like we lose them in there someplace.
There must be a gap somewhere. Excuse me. There must be a gap between the high school graduation and the college preparation and so forth. And so I would work towards that. I think education is a lifelong process, and I'm not sure why a high school student would stop at graduation. Oh, I'm not sure why a high school graduate would stop at that instead of continuing. That's got to be a goal. That's got to be something we put out there. But it's not just the college. It is truly the community. And again, I know I've said this, but it's about a collaborative effort. We need to set those expectations early in the elementary schools and bring them up. Now, setting expectations is one thing, and supporting them and providing programs that get them to that goal is another. And there's a, I think it's called the California Community College Chancellor's Office, thank you, that is has ideas about that. And they say that community college, it takes too long. Community college offers, the community college graduate that does go on has way too many extra classes. We need to find a way to streamline it. We need to encourage them, to push them forward. And so I would be glad to bring in a collaborative, a think tank of sorts of high school principals to find out what it is and where we're missing and what we can do to support them. And that would include involving the teachers. That would include involving the students to find out, hey, what's really going on? Why aren't our students moving on and being successful? Because that's what we want. We want them to move on to a four-year degree, hopefully a postgraduate degree and so forth. But it's just not there. Now, why that is, that will take a little bit of time, but I would be willing to do the investigation and digging in to find out why and then creating a program for it.
Do you think that part of it is the fact that you know, Shasta College has a lot of people that go into, not so much in the military anymore, though they do, but a lot of them get into the vocational side of it. And that counts against us as having college graduates, yet these or people that graduate from Shasta College and go out and get $60,000 a year jobs.
Yes.
You know, I mean, just, to, you know, at the beginning of it. I think sometimes when we see, you know, that we don't have, you know, a high degree of college graduates, but then does anybody look at how many of these people get a vocational, 2-year vocational degree? Does that count as a college? In fact, I'm not even sure. They are a college graduate, but it's not a 4-year college, which is, I guess, is what they're counting.
Well, based on what I read early this morning from that California Community College mm-hmm. Chancellor's office, the majority of them don't move on, and don't graduate or don't get the certificate. And there's got to be some obstacles there.
So they're not even graduating from the two-year college.
Exactly.
Okay, see, I wasn't clear on that.
But the vocational programs, if we're offering vocational programs and people are taking advantage of them because it's what the community wants, I say let's keep it going. Let's enhance it. Let's make it more robust. That's what they want. But we still need to provide the service to the other component, the group that wants to get the AA and then move on to the four-year school. So we need to find a way to do both. It's a juggling thing, but juggling is a good thing.
I know that Shasta College has reached out, and they do have, agreements or memorandums of understanding so that people in, like in the geology, physical geology group, they can leave from here and go to the University of Reno. And not lose any credits and actually like just kind of like, you know, merge into their school.
Yes.
And, but I don't know how many of those we have. I don't know how many of those agreements we have. I know they do it over at Simpson.
We have it at Simpson and they have it at some UCs and they actually have it at some of the Cal States. Mm-hmm. And so we've done that. The college has done that, put those things in place to encourage and to assist the student to move on. But again, what we're finding is that they're not. And that's where we need to kind of sort of do a survey and find out what's really going on. Why aren't our students moving on? Why aren't they being successful? Why aren't they reaching their potential by attending these four-year schools? And finding that out is the first thing, and then working to fix it is the second thing.
One of the things you said is that the distance learning isn't working for a lot of the students.
It's not working effectively.
Effectively.
And what I mean by that is, you know, this was thrust on everybody. They had online learning. They had online classes, and there are schools that do that amazingly. But when you have to do everything online,
not a good thing.
No, you're talking about going from maybe 15 to 20% to 100%, and I don't know that anything. If you had a pipe that could only handle 15% and now you're forcing 100% through it, you're going to have problems. You're going to have clogs. You're going to have delays.
It's
you're going to have
a fire hose.
Exactly. So what we do need to do is embrace it, that this online distance learning is the way of the future. It is the immediate, it's the present now, and it is the future. And then find ways, work with our businesses, work with our technology to enhance that. I talked with a student who was taking a test, and because of the capacity of the server, while she was taking the test, they went down and she got an F. Something's not right there.
Her server went down or the college's server went down?
I'm not sure which one it was.
Well, you know, one of the things we need up here anyway is high band or wide band, high speed. And if you live up in Trinity County,
exactly,
you're not going to have that.
Right.
And that puts you at a disadvantage of learning, especially when you have to take your classes online. At the college, that isn't one of the college's it's a concern for the college, but it's not a problem the college really can solve. Or am I wrong?
Well, I don't know that they can solve it, but they can certainly engage in the discussion to bring about a solution. And that's what I talk about, talking with your stakeholders and your partners. And let's find out from all of the cable providers or the internet providers and find out what is it that we can do collectively to make this experience work. And work very efficiently for students, for teachers, for faculty, for everyone.
Okay. You say your son's down in Southern California?
No, he's in the Bay Area.
Bay Area. Going to school?
He's going to school at Cal State East Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many colleges out there. Bad on me, but I didn't know there was East Bay, Cal State East Bay.
It used to be Cal State Hayward. That's where I graduated from.
Okay, yeah. I've heard that.
Yes.
Okay, I've
yes.
heard of that one. Okay. Stephen Bell, retired California Highway Police Chief.
Yes.
Of the Northern Division here. Mm-hmm. Retired back in 2007, about the time I did. And is running for the Shasta College Board of Trustees for Area 4. And that's up in the Trinity County, parts of Redding, and in that area up here.
Yes.
How do people get a hold of you, Stephen?
They can reach me either via Facebook, and
he does have a Facebook page.
I do have a Facebook page, and that's probably the best way to do it.
And are you having, or do you talk to groups or anything like that?
Yeah, I have visited all of those areas that I spoke with, and I've sat down, and I haven't sat down. I would talk with individuals and let them know that I'm running and so forth. And, you know, they were kind of like, oh, okay, thank you very much and so forth. But I have reached out, and I will continue to reach out not only for the rest of the election process, but even afterwards if I get elected.
Okay. Well, Stephen, thanks a lot for coming in here on kind of short notice. I found your phone number and called you yesterday, and said, yeah, I can make it at 7:30. You know, but, I love that.
I'm an early riser, yes.
Yeah. I love that flexibility.
There you go.
Anyway, Stephen Bell, who is running for the Shasta County Board of Trustees Area E, and you can get him on Facebook. And good luck, buddy.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Hey, we'll be right back with Sheriff Eric McGreeny.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. With the clock ticking ever louder, more talks on tap today amid hopes for a coronavirus relief package before the election, which is now just 13 days away. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and House Speaker Pelosi due to chat by phone again today. President Trump pouring it on as the election looms.
With the final presidential debate set for tomorrow in Nashville and Election Day now less than 2 weeks away, President Trump took his case for re-election to battleground state Pennsylvania Tuesday night.
We are going to win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we are going to win 4 more years in the White House.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden remained off the campaign trail. His running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, had a virtual event for Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The thing that is at stake, reigning over all of it, is the soul of America.
Harris was celebrating her 56th birthday and the start of early voting in Wisconsin. Mike Gracia, Washington.
And former President Obama returning to Philadelphia for his first in-person 2020 campaign event for Joe Biden. Mr. Obama will be speaking today at a drive-in rally. Supporters will be able to hear the former president on their car radios. Purdue Pharma, the company that makes OxyContin, will reportedly plead guilty to several federal criminal charges, part of a settlement exceeding $8 billion. OxyContin, the powerful prescription painkiller that experts say helped to touch off the opioid epidemic. A Houston police officer is dead, a teenager and another officer wounded after a man opened fire on law enforcement responding to a domestic disturbance call. 51-year-old suspect, who police say does have a criminal record, is now in custody. Stocks higher on Wall Street with the Dow up 23 points, NASDAQ ahead 25, the S&P 500 index 6 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Let's say you've decided to build a bicycle from scratch. Sounds like an impossible project for my skills, but let's say you've got the skills and I offer you an advantage, a special tool that would help you build the bike faster while saving you legitimate money. My guess is you'd say, bring it on. If you wouldn't, well, then this commercial isn't going to make much sense. My name is Ryan. I'm from United Faith Mortgage, and we believe we have an advantageous tool for you. Our mortgage team is lucky to have a direct lender advantage. Our company is set up to use its own money and make its own lending decisions within its own walls. And often, this advantage allows us to get your refinance or new home loan done faster and get you a better rate, which saves you monthly and lifelong money. Rates are historically low. Now is the time to see how our special tool might work for you. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
At least 11 women were trampled to death when a stampede broke out today among thousands of Afghans waiting in a soccer stadium to get visas to leave the country.
Video footage of the aftermath shows a chaotic scene with bodies lying on the floor. Many Afghans regularly travel to neighboring Pakistan for medical treatment or to visit relatives, but often complain about lengthy delays or being forced to pay bribes to officials. Earlier this month, Pakistan had promised to improve the visa application system for Afghan nationals.
The BBC's Sukunder Kermani. The European Union taking a defiant stance as a standoff over resuming post-Brexit trade talks with the United Kingdom intensified.
telling London that you can't have your cake and eat it too. The European Council president refusing to bow to British insistence for the EU to fundamentally change its negotiating position and cede more to UK demands. News and analysis, townhall.com. There's a new government study on fatalities in the U.S. since the start of the coronavirus pandemic.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finds there's been a 14.5% increase in the number of deaths that usually occur between the months of February and September of any given year. This year, the CDC finds 2.2 million people died in that period, 300,000 more than usual, and coronavirus was involved in about 200,000 of these cases. Health experts find a collateral effect, too, suggesting some people avoided hospitals and then died of problems like heart attacks. Nearly a third of those excess deaths involved the elderly, and the largest increase, 54%, was among Hispanic Americans. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 10 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air. Come December, we start our 11th year. Can you believe that? Jared, you were just almost a child in training deities when you came to work for us.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody. 21st of October, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center and Courage. They're our frontline defense of COVID, of course. Phone lines here, 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. 8:05 in the morning, and news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. As I just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was on a roll. You know, I get into this thing where I say things in a certain rote, and if I get out of it, I'll just plow ahead. I'll just do it. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great day. And what is the day going to look like here?
It's currently 72 degrees and clear, and we're going to have a red flag warning through Friday. Today is going to be mostly sunny, with a high of 87, a low of 51. On Thursday, it's going to be sunny and breezy, with a high of 77, a low of 49. On Friday, mostly sunny, with a high of 81, a low of 47. And on Saturday, mostly sunny, with a high of 76 and a low of 41.
There you go. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Chuck's going to be on Friday. He's getting ready to start a program that's just going to be great for our community. From Shasta Gas Propane, you can give them a call at 365-3793. And I want to remind everybody that PG&E is cutting the power off tonight at, they said, as early as 9 o'clock in some areas. 23,000 customers.
Yeah, they expanded that yesterday to now go on to the east side. It was going to be the west side of the valley. Now it's shooting over to the east side, Shingletown, Whitmore, Oak Run.
It's probably going to be even more than 23,000 now. Anyway, that's happening today and tomorrow, starting tonight as early as 9 o'clock. And as soon as I say that, what do you want to bet? 5 o'clock, they're going to start turning it off someplace. So it is going to be today, so be prepared for this for at least, you know, for the 2 days. If you run by a well, you may want to have some water, extra water around, other things that you need electricity to live on. Okay, hey, I'm here. Obviously, you heard his dulcet tones with Sheriff Eric McGree.
Sorry, I jumped on without the introduction. Good morning.
Oh, it's okay. I like the shirt.
Thank you.
My wife shops for me, and so I have shirts.
Your wife has good taste.
She does.
She gives good recommendations on where to shop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, there is. She's in Sacramento now with her mother. Now, her 87-year-old mother, you have to picture somebody that's 87, right? So, you know, everybody's kind of got a thought of what an 87-year-old is like. No, forget it. This woman is like the ever
was it the Ever Ready?
Energizer Bunny.
Energizer Bunny. When they're shopping, this woman is like not
living. On a mission.
She's dragging Linda along with her, you know, in the prop wash.
Well, that's neat. They're able to still do that and sharing that.
89-year-old father-in-law. And I tell you what, they are so pissed off about COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because they take big trips every year. I mean, 3-week trips on cruises. They last year they went to Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia.
Wow.
All those places, walking and all these. Well, they can't go anywhere. Mm. And this is really having an impact on them. They can't even get on a bus because they're going to do the Route 66 tour.
Huh.
They canceled that. So, you know.
And these are their golden years, what you've worked to earn and have the ability to go do these things, and
they've taken advantage. They've got a bumper sticker as I'm spending every dollar, you know, spending every dollar. Well, kids won't get a cent, but
hopefully
that's
Linda
fine.
Gets a little bit of that today.
Well, Linda's out anyway. Oh, she keeps me in. She keeps in touch with me. Got all the Christmas presents for all the kids.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. And then she buys all year, and then she lays them out, puts name tags on them and all that, and then she'll come back and go, I think this one needs to go over here because I've got this, you know. I don't know how women do it.
And see, that's where I fail miserably because I procrastinate, as we know.
As we
were on this show and trying to figure out gift ideas the day of. So good for them for getting a jump start on that.
Hey, I have to ask this.
Okay.
Are you going to go with, like, a squad of deputies to every board of supervisors' house when you arrest? Where are we with the citizens' arrest?
So we are wrapping that up. And I'm being serious about this
because this is a serious thing. The guy, did he do all of his paperwork right?
So I have not personally read and reviewed the paperwork. We had a deputy take the information. The gentleman signed the citizens' arrest form, which accepts all civil and criminal liability for, there's a whole admonition that goes with that. Mm-hmm. So basically, the responsibility is on the arresting person, the person making the citizen's arrest. We, as in law enforcement, just accept that arrest, and we have options where we can either take the information, we do the investigation, we could issue a citation, we could deliver somebody for magistrate. So there's options there. Obviously in this instance, we took the information, we're doing the investigation and writing the report up. So I have not seen the final product yet. I was told that it's, near completion, that we're doing a thorough job. We want to look at everything and make sure we're doing it right. So, and I purposely kept myself out of, cause I don't want there to be any, allegation of some kind of collusion or conspiracy or all that. So, I have not involved myself with the investigation or reviewing the documents, and I will at the time it's completed and submitted.
Well, you know, do you see this as a frustration on COVID?
I
just did an interview with the Sacramento Bee about, and their question was, is armed insurrection? I went, absolutely not. I said, there are people, however, they're very frustrated by this because they've worked hard to, mm-hmm. you know, their businesses are in trouble there. We've worked really hard, and Shasta County had such low numbers until the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And yet we were still treated like people that from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't break out of that. And now, because we've had this breakout in two assisted care facilities in Bethel, we're going to be punished with the purple tier. I said, people are just frustrated with this whole thing.
They are, and rightfully so.
Rightfully
Carl.
So.
I mean, it's extremely frustrating because we have done a good job for, what are we into this thing, 6-7 months? We've done a great job. And just because of a few isolated.
It was 5 years yesterday.
Yeah. It's dog years. And just because of a few organizations that. It's back to that mantra, that call that we've been making, the Sacramento, this one-size-fits-all approach is not appropriate. And we've done well. I could maybe see or justify if this was an unknown. This was an outbreak. I'll call it an outbreak within the community, and there's no way to trace this back, and we're just having all these positives, and no one can can articulate or pinpoint a source of origin. Right. That's not the case.
Right.
We're able to absolutely say it's coming from A and B. And because of that, it's not rampant in the community. It's not
putting
unknown.
People in the hospital.
Right, exactly. So the fact that, again, to use your word, which is an appropriate word, we're going to punish everyone. And this is a small community. We all know each other. I mean, that's the fortunate thing about living here. That's what I love about living here is we know these business owners. And I've talked to them, and I've heard them, and some of them have come and spoke. The lady spoke at the board meeting yesterday. The casino club on Hilltop was emotional, and your heart breaks for these people.
Oh, the card room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they've been closed for...
And they're doing everything they can to stay afloat and do it right and comply. But it's just, at what point do you go, enough is enough? We're doing good. We're being responsible just because of a few pods or clusters or however you want to classify that. A few groups shouldn't have an impact, that much of an impact on the rest of this
There's
community.
There's 90,000 of us in this town.
Right. So I was very glad that yesterday the board
is hearing
that, and well, they even look, took it in their submission.
Can we? I'm going to break now because I want to talk about that. I commented on it in Facebook. Got a lot of comments back on Facebook about it. And we're going to talk about the pushback from the board, finally. Okay. I shouldn't have said finally, but it is finally. This portion of the show, though, is brought to you by a business we both love and we both attend. It's called Four Winds Jewelry. When I say we, I'm talking about Sheriff McCraney and myself. Actually, we're there the same day.
Yeah. We both hit a home run that day.
We both hit a home run that day. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. And the reason we went there that day is because they are there with just a great selection of jewelry. They're going to help you out if you're, you know, if you're kind of at a loss about what you want to buy for your loved one. If your loved one doesn't already have her name on like six things like Linda does, to help me choose. But they are there to provide outstanding service. They have an outstanding selection of jewelry. They're the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. It's Four Winds Jewelry, super people, Rebecca and Henry. You won't be sorry going down there. Their prices are fair, and like I said, they have a huge selection of jewelry. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back with Sheriff Eric McGreeny.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for state senate, ID 142-3306.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Carl Linda Bob. Good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and Home Helpers is bringing us a segment. So Home Helpers is the premier home assistance agency in maybe all of California. I know of all of Northern California. Sharon's been helping people for over 16 years with a staff of just amazing people that give wonderful care to people that need some help in their homes, whether it's a couple hours a day, a couple of days a week, or every day, 24 hours a day. It's Sharon Clark. She's expanded in her business with through this COVID because so many people are needing more assistance, that she's looking for some more amazing people to become caregivers. Give her a call at 226-8350 or learn more at ReddingHomeHelpers.com. It's either full-time or part-time. Reading Home Helpers. I'm here with Sheriff Eric McGree, and you know,
right before we jump in, I just want to segue what you just were commenting on as far as caregivers and helping people out. Today is the last day of the LAC, the local assistance center, open down at the fairgrounds for the Zog Fire victims. It's kind of that one-stop shop, if you will, where they can go. All the booths are there. All the different partners in helping these people get the assistance they need to get recovery efforts moving and get restorative paperwork going for their homes, for whatever they lost during this fire. So, again, that ends tonight. Today is the last day. So if you haven't made it down there yet, please, please do so, because we're trying to make it as accommodating as we can for those that were affected by the fire. So thank you for that opportunity, and sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay, because tomorrow I'm going to be down with Trish Clark at the Healthy Aging drive-through event down at Cornerstone Bank. It's going to be we're starting the event at 7 o'clock, and it's going to go till around 1 o'clock. And people can get great little bags of stuff to, you know, this is this month is to celebrate healthy aging, I guess, is a good way of putting it. And you're going to get a lot of information. Just drive by and pick up these bags. Stop by our table. That's going to be at Cornerstone Bank.
Does it matter the age?
No. No, anybody can go through. Though you probably, after have you been on the job a year?
Not yet. Ten months, and I should have the days counted.
Well, your hair's all gray now, and you walk in stooped over. So I was just, you know, it's like dog years.
It is.
And, in fact, Tom Basenko is 432 years old because he was a sheriff for
10 years or something like that. Anyway, tomorrow, come on by, say hello. Trish and I'll be down there. And there's going to be people out there to hand out bags as you drive through and donate if you want. If not, just come by and say hello. I'm here with Sheriff Eric McGreeny. We're talking about the board yesterday voted to have a session that's going to be this Friday or Thursday.
Thursday, tomorrow.
At 9 yep. o'clock in the morning about defying the purple, the order to go into the purple tier, which I call that the purple tier of slow death.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you go purple, how significant is that? Because your face turns purple from lack of air, and your body starts dying off. And that's what the purple tier will do to our businesses.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I hope we'll see what happens tomorrow. Again, as I mentioned in the last segment, we've identified where that spike came from. It's not an unknown. So to me, in my simple, hopefully common sense thinking, that helps us in that this isn't an unknown. We know where that spike came from. It's been identified. Therefore, we can work through that. We can control it. It's not like something that's out there lurking and we need to lock down because there's this unknown threat. I don't think we have that. Again, that's just my thoughts, my opinion. And I think that because we have done a good job and working with these groups and identifying and tracing it back to these one or two places, that that doesn't justify punishing everyone else. So we can, I think, absolutely make the argument of staying in the red until these numbers come back down and or going back into the orange as soon as we can.
Yesterday they started coming down. Now,
they did.
Let's just say this. Two of the facilities, Windsor and...
I don't want to say it wrong and label somebody.
Windsor, anyway, it's two assisted.
I can't.
I'll look it up.
Yeah,
look that up for us, man. That's a lockdown facility.
Right.
These are people with dementia problems. It's assisted living, so that's kind of a lockdown. It's Bethel that is the concern.
Right.
Unless Bethel gets their arms around this and really, really takes it serious, which it sounds like now they are after they've had all these cases, though we see instances where they're saying one thing and then the other, then they have a wedding up at Jingletown that has lots of people there unmasked. Is there anything that, I mean, you can't put a lockdown on Bethel?
No, they're a private religious organization.
And they've already been told you can't have services, you can't do this, you can't do that. And now they are saying is that they're pushing the wearing of masks for other people and this.
But if you remove, and I know we're beating the same drum here, if we remove those numbers from our totals, it does not, absolutely does not justify us bumping tiers. So, again, you take that minus that, and we're still doing good as a community, as a whole. Restaurants, our business owners. I mean, my wife and I eat out to support our local businesses, and we enjoy that, and we've done that, and every place we go into is being responsible. I mean, the people are wearing the masks, they got the plexiglass up, they're sanitizing. So you can't fault and punish.
But yet we are.
Well, hopefully, we'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, let's see what happens. And let's hope that the Board of Supervisors actually votes to say, hey, you know what? We're going to defy this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use the same we're going to give ourselves a couple weeks to see if it gets worse, but we're going to keep ourselves in the red.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not one usually over the airwaves to say, and this is Carl Bott, says, this may be a time for the businesses to just stay open. I can safely say that there's not going to be any law enforcement officers that are going to come in and tell you to shut down.
Well, and as we were talking about off on break, is that does not eliminate the potential for the state
ABC
state groups to come in, ABC or Environmental Health or OSHA or those groups to come in. you know, we're small enough up here. I don't know. I don't want to put that challenge out, but there still is that threat, so it doesn't eliminate everything altogether. So for those that are listening, there still is. Even though we work towards compliance through education and not enforcement, there still is the potential for the state entities
to come in. Will come in as they did last time, and they shut down several businesses with the ABC. But what I'm saying is that I have too many friends with businesses, or know too many people with businesses, that the worst thing that you can do to a business is, one, shut them down, and then let them open up again, spend all the money, get all their people back, and then shut them down again. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, or let them open again. They can't continue to do that.
Right.
You have to maintain. And we as a business community need to support each other and not call ABC on another business.
Mm-hmm.
Not during this. Everybody's in the red. Everybody's, you know, playing by, you know, if everybody plays by those rules that we had before, and separation, cleaning tables, all of these things, we need a chance to get back into the red, which I think we can do quickly.
Yeah, and I could see having concern if there was somebody that was totally flipping in the wind, was total disregard for distancing and sanitation and all that, but we have not had that here. I haven't heard of one report of any businesses just being careless and reckless.
No.
Or restaurant business or retail businesses, anything like that. So
even the barbershops I go to is, of course, Cypress Square. And he's upset because he sees them following the rules and cutting their business literally in half, mm-hmm. only having one customer in at a time.
Right.
And he sees other businesses that aren't. Now, to him, that's not fair,
mm-hmm.
and because they're not playing by the rules. You know, I think that everybody should play by the rules, and then we can keep ourselves open in that red until we can get it back down to the orange,
right.
and then hopefully down to whatever the lowest one is.
Which, my understanding, and I think I heard it right, so I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong here, but is you have to remain in that tier for, I think it's 2 weeks. So, as you indicated, our numbers are starting to regress. So, if we have another week or so of bringing those numbers back down, now that we had that spike, again, I think we can justify remaining responsible and staying in the red and hopefully getting back to the orange sooner than later.
I think bottom line, too, we have to look at the numbers in the hospital. The numbers are,
that's
I think, was seven
yeah.
in the hospital, maybe one in intensive care unit
mm-hmm.
now. We have had several people die, but the majority of those people came out of one of the rest homes.
Correct.
Or one of the assisted care facilities, and that was the Windsor and the Vistas. Is that correct? Now, Vistas hasn't had any reported deaths that I know of, mm-hmm. but Windsor has. Again, you have to look at the hospitals. If all of a sudden we had 50 people in the hospitals, okay, guys, we have got
right.
to work at this harder, but we don't.
Yeah, and it's a respiratory illness. It affects the elderly much more significantly than it does our other age groups. So when it does get in those rest homes, it's detrimental. It really is.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. 8:31 in the morning here, 72 degrees, going up to 88. Judy Maxwell of Maxwell Insurance and Financial is bringing us a segment, All Your Insurance and Financial Needs Under One Roof. Judy's been helping people since 1993. Her business continues to expand. She, if there's a question about insurance, whether it's homeowners insurance in the fire, have you had it canceled? Well, she'll find fire insurance for you at reasonable prices. Health insurance during the open enrollment time. How about life insurance? If you're a little bit older and you decide, well, you know what, maybe I want to get more life insurance. She's got the answers for all of that. And if anybody knows about getting health insurance, knows all the ins and outs, it's Judy Maxwell at Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Give her a call at 221-0441 or stop by at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Sheriff Eric McGrinney.
Thank you. I am Steve Morgan, and I'm running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridges, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric Magrini, former Sheriff Tom Basenko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 2020.
You win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
What is community? A location? A place to live and work? Or is it something more profound? A force deeper than words can describe, uniting us to reach out and support each other. No matter the trial or circumstance, we are one. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to stand strong with our community. We know we can get through anything when we do it together. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studio at the KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Morning, everybody. Here it is, the 21st of October. We're almost there for Halloween. And we're here with Sheriff Eric Magrini, and Shasta Regional Medical Center is bringing us this portion of the show, one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the United States. Recognized by the Watson Health Institute, fully accredited chest pain center, stroke center, highest ratings by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and has the only Da Vinci surgical robotic system in Northern California, is right there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. We'll be right back. We're here with Sheriff Eric Magrini. We're getting ready.
Hey, we're going to go to another break.
Take another break.
Hey,
here.
A break.
On the breaks, I also have to conduct business. The jail right now, over half of the jail is filled with those prisoners that have been already been to trial. They've already been found guilty. They've already been sentenced to state prison, but the state prison is not accepting them. What's
right.
the impact?
Oh, it's so significant, Carl. It's so frustrating. There's a lot of frustrating parts. There's a lot of rewarding parts of this job, but this has been one of the most frustrating things I've had to deal with because, as you just identified, the prisons literally lock their doors, and they have for 6 months. Now, I will say in the last week or so, they've started trickling people back in. But that doesn't erase the fact that for 6 months, they've denied taking their own inmates. And then what kills me is on the tail end of that, they tout the fact that, you know, our numbers, our inmates are down to the lowest levels in decades. Well, yeah, it's because they've shoved them all to us. We're running many prisons now, which is totally not appropriate for our staff. These are more sophisticated level inmates, inmate on inmate assaults, inmate on staff assaults, and we're still doing a great job.
You're seeing more of that?
There is, and there's a higher risk for that as well because
you guys aren't. I mean, your
our
people
facility's
are well prepared,
not designed.
But your facility's not ready.
Not
for that.
Designed for that. I mean, the jail obviously was constructed in, I think, 1984. It's not developed, designed, and the way it was built, it's not like you can go in and remodel. You can't do a remodel
to
that jail.
We'll just drop this wall and open this one up for a recreation room.
It's very difficult when you're holding people for multi-year sentences already. That's been shoved down our throat. And now we're holding all these prison inmates. So just as you identified at the beginning here, we are up to 211 sentenced inmates that we're stuck holding. And then to add insult to injury, to rub salt in the wound, our daily cost to house these inmates is around $108 a day, and the state graciously gave us $93 a day.
So $15 a day per inmate
is on us.
Per day.
Per day. Per inmate. It's like rubbing two pennies together. It just continues to multiply here.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there's medical costs affiliated with that they're not covering. This is costing the county tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars when this is all over. So it's been extremely frustrating. And
that doesn't count the fact that you also have to use areas in the jail as quarantine facilities.
Right.
And all these things, that takes
there's another 80
there.
Beds.
Yeah.
We have to have a male pod and a female pod. Both those pods are 40 beds each.
How many people do you have in there?
So our rated capacity is 484. However, we have a court order that mandates that when we hit 90% of capacity or 436 beds, that we have to start doing releases,
okay.
Capacity releases. Just last quarter, we did over 700 releases, early releases, from our local jail in the last 3 months.
I thought there'd be more for some reason. I don't know why. But 700 is a pretty significant
700
number.
700 is a lot.
That's a significant number,
and that's,
yeah.
Excuse me, that's local offender. That's the inability to house local offenders. That's the lack of accountability for local offenders, which are quality of life crimes here in our community.
It's almost 10 a day. I mean, if it's simple arithmetic, yeah. It's around 10 a day.
And so just recently, I mean, we've been banging this drum, myself, several other sheriffs, North State sheriffs, because these bigger facilities, Contra Costa County, Alameda, L.A., San Bernardino, San Diego, they have the facility to accommodate. They're able to absorb those numbers in and still be operational and still be efficient. We are at capacity before this began. So all this does is exacerbate the problem.
Why can't the state, okay, these are our guys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that this has put an unreasonable burden on our smaller county jails. Why can't they then move 100 of these prisoners to Alameda and pick up the cost for it?
You're spot on, and I've made that request. Some of these other counties said, hey, we'll help you, smaller counties. We understand the impacts it's having on your facilities.
Sure.
We'll house them for you as long as we can have that $93. I said, take the $93.
Hey, you can have we'll give you another $5.
Yeah. So take them, and then, so that was my ask of CDCR, or the state prisons, And then it was deflected, well, we got to work with Department of Finance, and, you know, that creates a whole accounting nightmare. So I've asked that many, many times, still haven't gotten an answer on that.
That's stupid.
It is. And
it's stupid. It's stupid because you're holding state prisoners. Alameda's got a spot for another 500-600 prisoners they mm-hmm. could take, if not more, that the state just doesn't bring up a few buses, move them down
right.
to Alameda, let them a bus a day so they don't overrun them, a bus a day for like 2 weeks mm-hmm. until you can get rid of these 200 people. They pick it up. They pick up the money, and we can start putting bad guys back in jail.
Right. In fact, here, this one is also telling is in July, everyone was reporting their numbers. I haven't seen them put anything out. But in July, they said, okay, here's a list of the counties and how many inmates you've reported holding as we progress down this mm-hmm. path. Again, I think that backfired because I haven't seen the list come out since. But in July, we were of the 58 counties throughout the state, large, small, rural, urban, doesn't matter. Of the 58 counties, we were number 9 on that list that wasn't percentage wise. That was persons yeah. in our facility as compared to the rest of the counties. We are number 9 on the list in the entire state. I would argue, and I haven't contacted every single agency and got their every county jail and got their numbers, but I would argue that our percentage, our per capita, our percentage of available jail beds divided by the amount of prison sentence inmates we're holding is probably one of the highest in the state, if not the highest.
I imagine. Yep. Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was disappointed that you guys spent so much time talking about COVID-19. You should have had, in my opinion, a supervisor on or someone from HHS, because the sheriff should be concentrating on crime. One thing that people aren't aware of is Gavin Newsom is shutting down two prisons. One is going to be shut down here, I think, within 6 or 8 months, and the other one will, by 2023. So that's just going to make the problem worse. Here on me personally, I have been burglarized 4 times in the last 20 years. I had an attempted home invasion in the last 6 months. I can't even count the times my vehicle's been gone through. And you guys, the sheriff and the supervisors and the state, keep doing the same thing. When are they going to learn they need to do something else? I would like to suggest to you, Eric, that you lead a charge for a measure for 1 cent to build a jail and a jail only. I think that would pass. Measure A was a bunch of BS. If you would lead a measure and get up there and say, we're going to build a 500-bed jail and I've got it tied up, that's all this money can be used for, that I think would pass. And that's the only way this problem's going to be straightened out.
Well, you know what,
Nick? Maybe we should hit the state where they hurt. Maybe we should quit sending them money. We cut off their CalPERS money, I'll bet you they'd start paying attention. But doing the same thing we're doing and talking about the same points you're talking about, and that's all you guys talk about every time you guys are on there, isn't getting us any place.
Thank you,
Nick.
I appreciate you bringing up the fact that you're accurate in that the governor is closing 2 more prisons, and with the goal of releasing up to 17,000 inmates through early release, parole, credits, earned credits, multiplying their credits to make them eligible for early release or parole. So, yeah, it's
one of the reasons too, Nick,
a broken system right now
that we talk about this part about the 211, because every time the sheriff comes on, it raises another 30 people at least. And the reason that this is so important that we as a community know this is you wonder why we have so many people on the street, mm-hmm. why that our homeless problem seems worse. When I asked that question the other day on Facebook, there wasn't one person that said things had gotten better. And it was after the lady from Carousel wrote that article about, don't tell me that things have gotten better because they haven't. But people need to know is, why aren't these people in jail? Well, this is one of the reasons. Over 50% of our jail is closed because of the prisoners that should be in the state prisons right now, and they won't even let us move them to facilities that have the room for them. So, anyway, got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Reading City Council, and most of those years, I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Reading Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Reading, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Reading Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer, and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate, ID 142-3306.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Black Bear Diner is celebrating this fall with the craze you'll crave.
A craze I'll crave?
Yes. Cheesecake drizzled with pumpkin spice, praline sauce, and chopacons. Sip on a creamy pumpkin pie cold brew or savor pumpkin spice pancakes with maple butter for the perfect fall experience. Now for a limited time only.
I'm craving it already.
Black Bear Diner has carryout, curbside pickup, and delivery options.
Start your order at blackbeardiner.com or visit them on site for an outdoor dining experience.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It's our last segment of our show here on the 21st of October, 72 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day, up to 88. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And I want to remind everybody that PG&E is turning off the power tonight to 23,000 customers, maybe more.
Yeah, I got to look that up. I think it's more, but.
Yeah, because you just said they just added on the eastern side, so it's probably more than 23,000. But you need, if you're with PG&E, you need to get on their website or make a phone call and find out if you're one of those people, because they're talking at 9 o'clock tonight through tomorrow, because of high winds and dry vegetation. So
yeah, I'm trying to log in as we're sitting here talking, but you know, we had a few incidents in the last shutoff involving people with generators catching an outbuilding on fire, things of that nature. So just please be careful. Give proper ventilation. Of course, don't start those generators in your homes, or even hopefully not in your garages. But Just make sure they're vented. Be careful. Some of the accidents are taking place when they're refueling. And because this thing's plugged into electricity, if you have a little spillover in gas, so there's a lot of literature out there about how to proper maintain, how to properly fuel, but, you know, shutting it off, disconnecting it, removing it from a power source before you refuel it. And then, again, the proper ventilation. We don't want to see people get asphyxiated because
of the generators,
of the carbon monoxide. Right. So please be careful. Be prepared. We talk about preparation. I know Cal Fire does a great job in messaging that, but we partner with Cal Fire in a lot of that. Just heaven forbid something does happen, be ready. Have a way to receive communication even when the power is out so you can hear if something does take place or something does kick off. So, again, just be responsible.
Let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I was going to ask the sheriff, how many of these people do you have in jail up there that have been early released and have come out and recommitted crimes that should be in prison right now?
Jim, good question. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but it's significant. The recidivism rate here in Shasta County is very, very high. In fact, I know it'll shock many of the listeners, but we get punished monetarily for sending people to prison. They try to incentivize creating programs and other ways to have offenders held accountable rather than sending people to prison. But the men and women here in Shasta County, our DA does a great job in prosecuting, and we send a lot of people to prison and well-deserved. So because of that, though, it does affect some of our funding. But to answer your question, there's a significant amount of repeat offenders, those that have gotten out that go right back to the life of crime and are regular customers.
Thanks, Jim.
What you ought to do is get a hold of the Shasta County, should sue the state then for any damages that they caused and all the upkeep that they caused for over here. But then just put them all in one big room. And just inform all the inmates that every 6 o'clock at night, we're going to pick up all the bodies and you guys sort it out.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Okay. Terry, good morning. Do you have a question for the sheriff?
I do. How you doing, Eric?
Good, Terry. How are you?
Doing well. Couple of things. We're on our way to what is called by Kevin Kiley, the trial to hear about Newsom and what he has done with his illegal executive orders. We're on our way there, just came out of LIBO.
Is that the sentencing part today, or is that the trial part? Because didn't they have that?
Well,
wasn't that heard last week?
Kylie is calling it a trial.
Okay.
But I think it's a hearing. But anyway, we'll see. We're almost there. They postponed it to 10 o'clock. But the other thing is, too, is that I don't know if you had a chance, Eric, to listen to our program on Sunday, but you might want to go back and listen to the 9 right there at 9:30. There is money in the county to build a jail. There was money in the county to build a jail. We got money to give raises, even though those were deserved. We didn't have that money to give those raises back when Measure A was going. There's a lot of things coming down in our county, and we can get a sales tax for 1 cent. But if the money's already there, why would we do that? So I think that that's an important program to listen to, and I think that people need to stay tuned over the next week because there'll be some things coming out. And, Eric, did you guys talk about the citizen's arrest at all?
Yes,
at the beginning of the show.
First 15 minutes.
Okay, because we weren't able to get the program, and we're almost in Yuba City, and we'll call in tomorrow, and we'll give you a little bit of a report on what happens down
okay,
here.
Okay, Terry, thanks a lot. We got to run, buddy.
All right, thanks, Terry. Yeah, we were talking at the break again. We have some deep, deep thought discussions at the breaks, Carl and I do. So there's one part of it is getting the jail built, the brick and mortar. The significant costs come when it's the operational costs of staffing the facility, all the services that go into running a facility. So it's a twofold. So I think the bigger challenge is the ongoing cost. There's a one-time cost for building.
Yeah. It was never, ever the original cost of building as it is for the upkeep of it.
Right.
Somebody said, why can't we take the old courthouse and make that into a jail? How much would that cost?
Boy, that courthouse. I'm trying to think of a proper term I could put on the air for describing that courthouse. It is in desperate need of help. It's got significant issues. It's got leaks. It's got, and I know the thing is, hey, these people don't deserve anything better. But, however, we still have to maintain some standards, and that building has some structural issues with asbestos, I know that they have some water intrusion big time that they suffer from, so that would be a major overhaul. But I know that the county is looking at options on what to do with that jail, what to do with the courthouse and how to best, whether it's to reuse it, repurpose it, demo it, and build something newer. That's because there's a lot of wasted real estate. If you look at the front of that, and all that grass area,
there's a lot of things it seems like we could do with that building. Yeah. And it may be the wisest thing is to tear it down. Who knows?
I don't know.
But that's going to take a lot of money, which we don't have. I think it's time to get one of the board of supervisors on as soon as I can to talk about this. Well, maybe Friday to talk about the pushback.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
we'll have an answer.
We'll have